Grab yourself a cold one. It's time for UP the Podcast. Hello and welcome to UP the Podcast. I'm your host, Dan, podcasting from the Acoustic Garage in Negaunee Township. I decided to change the intro up a little bit in honor of Ron and Steve's upcoming visit to the UP for the UP movie / book and pizza tour. The schedule for their tour is posted on the UP the Movie Facebook page and is also printed in the Saturday, September 4th edition of the Mining Journal on page 1C. You'll also find that great article about Ron Reakey and UP the book that Renee Prusy was telling us about in episode 2. And if you don't have a paper, I'm sure you can find a link on the UP Facebook page under the Media tab. And you'll also notice that the newspaper article listed addresses for Ron's personal website so you can learn more about him. Reakey on the web at rareikki.webs.com. Or the official UP website, twoeyesproductions.com. That's the number 2, EYES, productions.com. A paragraph I found interesting in the article was that the novel UP has gained the attention of another group, metalheads, those who love heavy metal music. "The metal community has embraced me," Reakey said. "I have been called the first metal novelist, and that music does play an important part in the book." Well, we'll definitely be getting into more detail on that in future podcasts. In fact, I talked with producer Stephen Wigg about how the metal band Slayer is such a big part of the book. He told me the story of how just last week, Slayer was in town, playing just a few blocks from his office. He rushed over to the concert with a copy of Ron's book, determined to get it into Slayer's hands. I'll probably post that story as a UP podcast tune-up. Just a short audio clip of Steve telling his story, so you don't have to wait for the next podcast before you hear it. Like I said, Ron and Steve are coming to town, so this is your chance to meet them and get a signed copy of the book, or a t-shirt, or to just hang out. Here's a quick rundown of the schedule. Saturday, September 11th, Snowbound Books in Marquette, 1 to 3 p.m. Later that evening, Aurora Books in Menominee at 6:30 p.m. Sunday, September 12th, Vista Theater in Negaunee, 7 p.m. for the homecoming event. Monday, September 13th, West Iron District Library, Iron River, 1:30 p.m. Central Time. Also September 13th, Beta Knot Community College at 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 14th, Northwind Books at Finlandia University, Hancock, 4 to 5 p.m. And also the Portage Lake District Library at 6:30 p.m. September 15th, Negaunee High School, 11:30 a.m. September 15th, Country Village Bookstore in Ishpeming, 1 to 3 p.m. And also later that day, Richmond Township Library Auditorium in Palmer at 5 p.m. And then at 7 p.m., the Peter White Public Library Community Room. September 16th, Safe Harbor Books in Cedarville at 2 p.m. And also the Falling Rock Cafe and Bookstore in Munising at 7 p.m. on September 16th. So they've got quite a tour, and I'm sure they'd be really happy to see you. Since Ron and Steve are here for the book tour, I thought it would be a good idea to get into a little more detail about the book, just to get people ready for the event. Now, I'm only halfway done with the book, so I thought we should talk to someone who's read the whole thing. I saw that Ron had posted a book review on the UP Facebook page. It was written by Eric Dahlstrom, and it goes like this. "I only read the Mining Journal when old classmates are convicted of extortion, so it was days after Renee Prusy's article was published that I got the opportunity to read it. The article sparked my interest, but by this time the local bookstores had sold out of their copies. I had to put in an order at Snowbound and impatiently wait for the weekend. Why haven't I heard of this book? When I Googled it, I read a review by MC Search. It was even more intriguing to think that MC Search, Mr. Kick'em in the Grill, gas-faced, derelict hip-hop legend, had read a book about my hometown. Thanks to Ron Rieke, MC Search has heard of Nagani. UP is the most impacting book I've read in some time. I haven't been able to shake it for over a week. It's affected me in many ways. It's affected me in a way few books have, and had it not been for Renee's article, I probably wouldn't have heard of it. And had it not been for Stephen Wigg's approval, I probably wouldn't have taken the time to read it. I've written off most local literature as BS, but I don't mean that as a judgment of quality. I mean folklore, tall tales, fiction. If you're from the UP, you know at least three BSers. But it's not a bad thing. It's often a term of endearment. We love stories and the people who tell them. It's expected to receive a certain degree of opinion with the facts. All truth should be amusing, or at the very least entertaining. I've pushed my way through enough of the existing embellished history and pseudo-fantasy fiction comedy and felt little cultural connection. Rieke is an excellent storyteller, not a BSer. Till now, nobody has written about the UP with such honesty. It's the realest fiction I've ever read. I know the book is real because it's about my hometown. It's about my friends and it's about me. It's about the first 20 years of my life. It's about growing up somewhere forgotten and having to watch the world move from the corners of our culture. It's about the frustrations of battling boredom, poverty, and a life of obscurity. By high school, we all knew there was something dysfunctional about our community and our local culture. My friends and almost everyone I knew engaged in the same reckless, self-destructive, and often violent distractions as Hollow, Craig, Anthony, and Jay. We were always aware of agony and pain churning just below the surface of our someplace special, but it was never spoken about. It would take a whole novel to articulate these feelings. They couldn't be described in a few words or even a few pages. It takes Rieke 236, and he does it well. Finally, somebody writes something real about home. Finally, someone acknowledges sentiments that I've been carrying my whole life. I don't think I've ever met Ron Rieke, and that's all the better. This stranger and I see our home the same way, and I truly appreciate that. Honestly, I feel a strange relief. I feel validated. Perhaps everyone else showing appreciation for the book feels the same validation. Maybe everyone else recognizes Rieke's honesty. Because this isn't a nice story about the UP, this is the dark reality that has never been spoken of. It's as brutal as a Larry Clark film. It's disturbing and often sickening, but captivating all the way through. If you haven't already read it, that goes for everyone, especially those from Nagani and Ishpeming. Maybe you won't feel as strongly as I do, but it will still give you an opportunity to reflect on your home, your past, your culture, and your life so far. If you can't see yourself in the book, you'll see someone you know. So I gave Eric a call, and he agreed to meet me in Nagani by the Vista Theater to talk about the book and to talk about Nagani. So how did it come about that you decided to write up a report on the book or a review?
I just, you know, I like to write, and I like to write about things that I read, you know, I guess. And it was just, most of my writing is personal. I was seeing myself and my friends as the characters. And when I wrote that, when I posted it on Facebook, it was my way of kind of letting my friends know, like, hey, you guys got to read this, because, you know, this is you know, you'll be able to relate to it, you know, this is something very similar to our lives. So it's just my kind of way of doing that, you know. It's really cool that a lot of people are coming together to kind of help out, and it's really neat that people are so interested, because it's the story that I thought that doesn't ever really seem to get told, you know, like, it's the kind of things around here that people don't talk about, you know. When you were in school, it was important to play sports and be involved, you know, with the school and Nagani Miners, you know, but there was a whole scene that was outside of that was rarely talked about or rarely touched on. And the book was probably, you know, the most impacting, the most, I've never been able to relate to anything better, you know, than reading that.
So what do you think it was about the book that hit home?
There's always a feeling that, like, none of this or nothing that we ever did would ever matter, you know? And the book kind of starts out that way when he's, you know, when they're talking about who's the most famous person in the UP, you know, and one of the characters asks their father, and it's Dominic Jacobetti,
right,
you know, the
yeah.
most famous guy that you've never heard of. But that's a conversation that comes up all the time, you know, or it did through our lives, like, who's the most famous UPer, you know, And you'd have to look way, way back. You'd have to, it'd be like the Gipper, you know, or somebody that nowadays, like, nobody could ever relate to, you know. And we grew up, like, it just seems, and not just Nagani, not just Ishpeming, but I'm sure small towns, like, all across the country, you know, the kids kind of grew up thinking that nothing really mattered, you know. This wasn't New York, it wasn't L.A., you know. We were just kind of off to the sides. And in the 80s and the 90s especially, it seemed like there was, the media put a lot of focus, you know, MTV came out and there's all these shows, and, you know, not only could you see, or, you know, could you hear, like, you know, your pop icons or the people that you looked up to, but now you could see them and they were always in your face and you knew what they looked like. And it came upon this, like, it was just like a, maybe a pressure to have a certain style or to dress a certain way. And I think prior to those times, like, people in Nagani never really had that pressure, never really had that influence. But once, but during, you know, the late 80s, 90s, you kind of had this frustration that, you know, what you would see on MTV definitely wasn't Nagani, you know, it wasn't Ishpeming. It's just growing up, just trying to find out who you are, you know, trying to be unique, trying to set yourself apart. And there wasn't much leeway in Nagani, there wasn't much leeway in Ishpeming, you know. If you wanted to prove yourself, or if you wanted to make a name for yourself, you couldn't do it through art or anything along those lines. You had to do it on the football field, you had to do it, you know, playing basketball. If you were unable to do that, then you were just kind of brushed aside in the town. And even the kids who were capable of doing that, I still think they had the opinion, like, what does this matter, you know, like, what does all of it matter, you know. It all just seemed like it was kind of a, you know, a charade. But it was frustrating, you know. It was frustrating when MTV would have The Real World, you know, which wasn't The Real World, you know. But not only were the people that were on, you know, these shows or are on MTV, or, you know, these people weren't people that were like us. They weren't people that we could relate to. And not only that, not only wasn't people not like us or nobody that we ever knew, but it was like in places that weren't us, you know. Like, kids up here couldn't relate to an urban living, you know. They couldn't relate to certain situations, and it just seemed like we were sidelined. I got into a lot of trouble when I was younger. I don't think I was a bad kid, but I made terrible, terrible decisions. And a lot of it, I think, you know, like, it wasn't because my parents were bad parents. It wasn't because the people that I hung out with were bad people. Like, we were just bored. You know, we were just bored, and we were trying to entertain ourselves. And I know that that's a terrible excuse. It's no excuse to make bad decisions. But the first time that I got in trouble with, like, the law or with the police, I was in eighth grade. And I remember at the time thinking, like, wow, that was a really stupid decision. And I remember thinking, like, that easily I can mess up my life by doing something that stupid. And I did multiple stupid things after that, you know. It wasn't easy for me to not break the law. It wasn't easy for me to not get an MIP. It wasn't easy for me to not, you know, to not get in fights or to not do dumb things. And I wasn't a bad kid, I wasn't stupid. It was just kind of the way, you know, that we grew up, you know. I really like the way the book talks about the caving grounds, the way the kids spent so much time in the caving grounds, because I did too, you know. Like, I was, during the summers, especially, you know, like, my early adolescent years, it was almost like a daily thing. We would be back there exploring, and the caving grounds have kind of like this decaying, depressing, like, feel to them, you know. It's kind of a weird place to hang out, but at the same time, like, it gave us hours and hours of excitement and a place to explore. And but it was always wrong to be back there too.
What message from the book do you want to make sure they keep in the movie and that it doesn't get lost? If there was a, I guess, one message or multiple messages from the book.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, from what I've read, and, you know, I think that Steve knows what he's doing, you know. Like, I think that if somebody, you know, I mean, if somebody was to make the movie, obviously it would be Steve, you know, because for one, he's in the position to do it. But I think that he, from what I know of him, you know, he didn't go along with the pack, kind of went out of here and he did his thing. And I think that he really sees what's important in it. But I guess just you know, to illustrate the frustrations that these boys feel, you know, like the anger. And I think if it was to be filmed here, I think it's really important that it's filmed locally and done locally. Otherwise, you know, it runs a risk of turning into like a, you know, reindeer games with Ben Affleck. Remember that stupid movie?
He's got to get to Sidnaw to get some pecan pie.
Yeah, exactly. So. You know, terrible, terrible, you know. And that's kind of offensive, you know, to me. Like, the fact that they, you know, that somebody would make a movie, you know, about the UP, but it would be something that nobody here could ever relate to. But the fact that this book is, you know, getting the attention that it is, and the fact that people around here are standing behind it, I think that everybody kind of gets that feeling, you know. Small town, you know, end of nowhere, you know, this is the middle of nowhere, you know, USA. It's and growing up during that time period and during that time and the things that were happening, you know, it's illustrated very well.
In your book review, you said you didn't know Ron.
No, I didn't. He sent me a couple messages on Facebook. You know, we've messaged each other back and forth a couple times since. But no, I've never known him. I knew his dad. I used to work. I worked for 7 years for Barney Wineo up here on the highway, the gas station.
Oh yeah. And Barney's.
Yeah. You want to talk about getting in touch with the UP, man? If you worked there for 7 years,
I lived next to Barney.
Did you?
For a long time, yeah.
He's, you know, I tell you what, he's a great guy. Like, he was really good to me. I worked for him from the time that I was 14 until I was 21, and I remember it was one of those Nagani moments. It was like, you know, man, I've been here 7 years, a third of my life, you know, and I basically quit for just because I was sick of doing the same thing, you know. And I look back at it, and Barney, you know, it was a great job. Barney was a great guy, you know, awesome to work for, but it was just, it got tough to be there because there was so much gossip that came through there. It was like Nagani times 10, you know. You knew everything that went on there.
Like, people would stop not just to get gas, but they wanted to come hear the gossip or spread some.
Exactly, exactly. And that's how I knew Ron's dad, because him and Barney were friends, and they he was a customer there. He had a charge account. He would come frequently, and always really talkative. He'd always talk to me a lot, and actually, just like a year ago, I was behind him in line at Walmart, and he just started talking to me because he's friendly like that, and I was like, you know, you don't remember me, but I remember you. You know, you're Jerry Reiki. Like, he used to have a charge account, you know, at Barney's, and then he was just like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I don't think he really remembered me, but he acted like he did, and he kept talking and talking and talking. I was thinking, wow, is that guy friendly? You know, nice guy. When I read the book, it was cool to hear it come from somebody that I didn't know. Because, you know, I could relate to it so much. I think, like, had somebody I known or had, like, one of my friends or something written it, you know, then it would have been like, yeah, you know, this is us. Mm-hmm. But to come from somebody that, you know, I didn't know, you know, it was just all that more powerful. It's like, all right, you know, this guy's a couple years older than me, you know, he comes from Michigan or whatever, but he's doing the same things, you know, or at least has the same feelings.
I'm interested to learn more about Ron because I don't know Ron either. Do you plan on meeting Ron in person?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to make appearance at, you know, a couple of places I'm going to stop in. You know, I'm definitely coming to the Vista here, and I think I'm going to go to Snowbound, and then, you know, I'll stop up at the Village Bookstore in Ishpeming just to show support too. You know, I mean, I'd like to meet those guys and hear what they have to say. But
yeah, Snowbound Saturday afternoon, and then Vista Sunday, 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of questions are you thinking of asking Ron when you see him?
When I was in high school, like, I was really into rap music, hip hop music, and a lot of the names, and like, when he's writing, you know, Anthony's part, he's writing about a lot of this, like, kind of obscure hip hop stuff that I'm, you know.
Did you get the NWA tape?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just surprised, you know, that he was able to name a lot of these people. And I guess I was curious as to, you know, if he was really that into hip-hop or to rap. And one other thing I noticed in the book is he always refers to 41 as 28.
Yeah, it's always U.S. Highway 41.
Yeah.
41 Steakhouse.
Yeah, exactly. You know, 41 Lumber. Like, everything has always been U.S. 41. And even when we were, you know, like, we'd talk about, oh, out on the highway, out on 41. I've never really heard anybody call it 28. But I noticed in the book that he did that. And I also was curious about hell. Like, in the book, you know, the spot hell, like...
Oh, is that the huge pit that's
the bottomless cave? You know, I'm wondering if such a place exists, or if you know, that was just kind of made up. Because, you know, I've seen some pits, you know, like, I've seen, you know, a lot of stuff when we were back there. But I've never seen anything that was, like, bottomless or appeared to be.
What character or characters do you relate to in the book?
I'd probably say, like, both Anthony and Craig, you know, because Craig just seems really angry, and when I was younger, I was angry, you know, I was a mad kid, and I can kind of relate, you know, I can relate to both of them, but all of them, you know, like, all of them just, as I read it, it was easy to put myself and, you know, in a certain one's shoes, you know, and then maybe kind of, I don't know if this sounds weird, but maybe, like, pick out, like, friends from the past and then place them in other situations, and it just seemed like it all fit so well, because I had friends, you know, that got in trouble with guns, you know, like carrying guns and doing stupid guns, taking guns to football games, and like, and you look back at it now and it's the same situation, you know, like, not stupid kids, not bad kids, they don't have bad parents, you know, like, just what are they doing, you know, like, why, how did this come about? I don't know, you know. I'm curious if things are still like that with the kids around here.
Now, did you get a chance to leave? Did you want to leave the area?
I did, and I wanted to, and I did, you know. I lived a couple of years. I went to high school in Milwaukee. My mother lived in Milwaukee, and I was having so much trouble around here that I thought that was the place for me. But when I went down there, like, I just became all the more reckless, and it was just kind of like I ended up getting sent back up here. And but I think when I came back from Milwaukee, I could see that there was something kind of dysfunctional about this area, you know, or maybe, you know, I could see that maybe I didn't really fit in, but I didn't really resist it, you know. I tried to fit in better. I tried to be friends, you know, I tried to get along with people, and it worked out well. But then after high school, you know, I lived in Wisconsin, Oconto, for a while. I lived in Grand Rapids. I lived in Cleveland for a short stretch. I mean, I moved around, and but now I'm back in Marquette, and I hope I live in Marquette the rest of my life.
After I turned off the recorder, Eric said that he didn't remember seeing me around high school, and I didn't remember seeing him either. I was a senior, and he was a freshman. That's a shame, because I think we've got a lot in common. And I started to wonder, how many other people feel the same way about what Ron wrote in the book, UP? And not just people from Nagani and Ishpeming. I'm talking about people from small towns all over the country. Well, I don't know. I guess we might find out soon enough. Well, the beer's gone, so the podcast's over. Hope I see you on the book tour. Till then, take care. This has been UP the Podcast. Thanks for listening.